Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Last October, as Phil and I were nearing the end of one of our weekly check-in meetings, he handed me a piece of paper and asked me to read it and tell him what I thought about it. The typewritten page was over halfway filled with writing, a brief introductory sentence followed by three dense paragraphs. I quickly realized that what he had handed me was a near final draft of the parish vision statement that was the culmination of months of hard work, questioning and listening, reflection and inspiration. The vision that would encapsulate for this community who we hope to become over the next 3 to 5 years. My first thought was, my God, they have written a novel. I quickly read through it twice more, my thoughts swirling, before responding out loud to Phil, who sat there watching me quietly and who I can only imagine read what must have been some comical expressions and emotions as they played across my face. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I know I mentioned that I was surprised by how long it was, and that I really liked the Trinitarian imagery that was used to introduce each of the three paragraphs, and that the language was frankly beautiful. And then, because it was the end of our meeting time and I had to leave to go pick up and Jasper and Zachary from school, that was it. The conversation ended before it really had a chance to begin, and I was off for the day, metaphorically taking off my collar and putting on my mom jeans instead. I didn't read the vision statement again until it was presented to all of us on that first Sunday in November, when we were invited to offer feedback. The final version that came out of all of that went before the vestry later that month and was formally adopted. As I encountered the statement again and again in those weeks and had time to delve more fully, I have to admit that I kept coming back to the feeling that it was beautiful and a clear call into new ways of being that felt authentic to who we are now. And it was long. Even as I soaked in the breadth and the depth of it, I yearned for a sentence or a line that I could memorize that would somehow sum it up. And so it was that I finally stumbled onto what had been there actually all along. You see, every time I read this statement, I focused on those three dense paragraphs, this body of our vision, this beautiful unfolding of what we could become. But right there at the top was a brief introductory sentence that I always managed to just skim over. We seek to follow Jesus in his boldness, courage, and compassion. We return to the Gospel of Luke today after a brief foray into John last week with the miracle at the wedding in Cana. It seems like we've plunged back into the middle of this gospel, but here in Luke, we're still at the beginning of Jesus' story, and today's passage heralds the beginning of his public ministry. The stories leading up to this gathering in his hometown, however, are essential to his proclamation among his friends and family. So let us remember that it is in Luke that Gabriel visits both Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, as well as Mary, to herald miraculous births. It is in Luke that Mary visits Elizabeth and sings the Magnificat. Here, in this gospel, that angels appear to the shepherds at Jesus' birth. It's only in Luke that the child Jesus is presented in the temple, where both Simeon and the prophet Anna recognize him as the Messiah. And it is Luke that tells us of a 12-year-old Jesus who, during a family visit to Jerusalem, went missing for 3 days before they finally found him in the temple, listening to the teachers and asking questions. It's in Luke that we get a full picture of this John the Baptist guy, his whole story, and how that story intersects with Jesus's baptism, in which that voice is heard saying, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." It is in Luke that we are told that Jesus was about 30 when his ministry began, and that upon being baptized, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. All of this is essential to remember because this is where our passage today picks up. There has been no calling of disciples yet. We have heard no stories of healings. No, here in Luke, Jesus's ministry begins after his temptation in the desert, in returning home filled with the power of the Spirit and through his teaching. It was the Sabbath day, and Jesus entered the synagogue in Nazareth. He stood up to read from the scroll, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And so he unrolled the scroll, searching until he found the place he wanted. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus sang Isaiah's good news in the key of his mother, Mary. And while Mark and Matthew both contain accounts of Jesus returning to his hometown to teach, it is Luke who gives us this detailed picture. It is Luke that places this story at the start of Jesus's ministry. Because for Luke, this seemingly small event sets up the framework for the entire gospel. It is Jesus's vision and mission statement, and it tells you everything you need to know about what it is that Jesus intends to do. It is a vision that was bold, would take courage to live out, and was centered in compassion. As followers of Christ, it is our vision as well. Vision should be understood as a verb, I think. Visioning, aspiring, becoming. It is a pointing toward something. Everything in Luke's gospel prior to today's story point to that moment where he proclaimed his vision, each part shaping this thing that would become. And so it is that the history and stories of this community, as a place on the forward edge of the church, a place at the intersection of ancient and modern, has led us to a vision that hearkens to the pattern that Jesus gave us, but which points us forward here and now. We seek to follow Jesus in his boldness, his courage, and compassion. As a parish, we are called to live into a shared vision. Loving God, we worship in joyful celebration and in prayerful stillness. All soul services rooted in foundational Anglican faith and practice integrate varied musical styles, the richness of the arts, and liturgies responsive to the needs of our community. Strengthened by our common devotion, we strive for the reconciliation of a broken world through our daily practices, our mutual ministry, and our struggles for justice. Following Jesus, we open our hearts to all. We invite all who seek Christ deep into our parish family, engaging individual gifts through mutual discernment. We foster spiritual kinship with one another, especially across generations and diverse backgrounds. Teaching and learning at every stage of life strengthens us for discipleship, preparing us to love, to lead, and to serve. Families flourish at All Souls, and our youth come to know Christ through spiritual formation, action in the world, and meaningful participation at the center of our parish life. Trusting the Spirit, we challenge ourselves to be vulnerable and to forgive freely. We confront barriers to inclusion within our hearts, our practices, our facilities. We encounter the holy through gospel-inspired service, working side by side with our sisters and brothers in the wider community. We engage in this transformative ministry in communion with the larger church and in collaboration with all of those who share our vision. Our resilience, strengthened by the grace of God, made known to us in the self-giving love of Jesus Christ. We too are singing in the key of Mary. Do you hear the echoes of the Magnificat? I do. Do you hear the echo of Jesus proclaiming Isaiah's song? It's there. Because what I have come to understand about our new vision is that it's what Richard Rohr would call the full gospel. Now, the full gospel contains the vertical dimension, us and God. But not just that. It also has a horizontal dimension, us and our relationship with each other and the world around us. When we have this full gospel, the vertical and the horizontal, the depth and the breadth, then the world can begin to believe that we are really a people. We are not simply creating religions and feelings of righteousness for ourselves, because what we are proclaiming brings light and life for all. We seek to follow Jesus in his boldness, courage, and compassion. That is our starting place. And now is the time that we must begin the work we've been given to do. It will happen in myriad ways, each of us carrying different pieces of it. It is work that we must be intentional and thoughtful about. And some of how it will unfold, we haven't even begun to dream yet. And so today, I stand here at the start of a new chapter of this ministry that we share, and I offer each of us a challenge. In order to become the parish that we envision, we must each become bearers of this vision. We must know it intimately. Quite simply, we must pray it. My challenge then is that we each make it part of our personal prayer practice to regularly read and reflect on this vision. We must steep ourselves in its depth and also find our own place within it. So as you pray it, seek out a sentence or two that grabs your attention. Write it down. Hang it up somewhere in your house where you will see it. Let it become your daily meditation, the place where you might enter into our vision. For me, it's that opening sentence. But I'm also drawn to this. We foster spiritual kinship with one another, especially across generations and diverse backgrounds. What will that look like here? I don't know. And the pieces will differ for each of us. But when we pull them together, our vision will emerge. So get a hold of a copy of our vision statement. It's on the website. I can email it to you. I will mail you a hard copy if that's what's best. Whatever it takes, grab hold of our vision. It is yours and it is mine, and it is only together that it will be fulfilled. Amen.